Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Winslow Homer, The Nature and Rhythm of Life, is a new exhibition at the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie. It will be on display through January 4th, 2015. Bartlett Arkell, the founder and first president of the Beechnut Packaging Company, brought Homer's paintings and watercolors to his hometown of Canajoharie for the enjoyment of its citizens. Considered one of America's greatest artists, Homer began exhibiting oil paintings in 1863, the year Arkell was born. Homer died in 1910, some 20 years before Arkell started collecting his work. Over a 14-year period from 1931 to 1945, Arkell purchased 20 Homers for the art gallery he had founded, at the time called the Canajoharie Library and Art Gallery. These works, along with two other watercolors that Arkell kept for his personal collection, make up the exhibition Winslow Homer, The Nature and Rhythm of Life. Here to tell us more are Diane Forsberg, is the director and chief curator at the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, and Leslie Paisley also joins us, paper conservator and department head of the Williamstown Art Conservation Center. Leslie's work provided insight into Homer's working methods, and she offered crucial advice to the Arkell about light exposure and encouraged the museum to develop ways to keep light from damaging these works on paper over time. And it's a great pleasure to welcome both Leslie and Diane to our roundtable program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. So, and Leslie, thank you very much for joining us on the telephone.
Thank you. Glad to be part of the discussion.
Always nice to have you here. Diane, let us begin with you and talk about how this exhibit came to be. Obviously, these are parts of the collection, so you want to bring them out and show them off to people.
We do. And many of the oil paintings are on view most of the time. But the watercolors, because of their fragile nature, we can only bring them out, you know, infrequently to preserve them for the future. And so we put a great deal of time into thinking about how to best do this exhibit. And it has taken quite a while to raise the funds and make this possible, to bring in the right Homer scholars to help tell the story. So we took our time to get this exhibit and the catalog that accompanies it together. And it would not have been possible without the help of the Fenimore Art Museum under the leadership of Paul D'Ambrosia, who helped finance this entire project.
So when we talk about this fragility, and this is where this gets into Leslie's work, but just talk about what you had and what your initial concerns were as far as the works with the watercolors.
Well, I'm thinking that Leslie should answer this.
Okay, all right.
Well, we're lucky that Homer chose to use very good quality, heavy-sized watercolor paper. He used a lot of J. Wattman paper that was the best type of watercolor paper available. It had a heavy gelatin size so he could really work the surface using a lot of really interesting techniques. He also chose good watercolor pigments. However, some of the pigments that he chose for their color do not have the best lasting permanent qualities. So some of the thin, faint washes have altered over time. And some of that was part of what we wanted to see when I was doing my work, which involved technical examinations to determine the materials and techniques for each work, and then to do the condition assessments to see how those materials have held up to aging over time.
Is it aging, Leslie, or is it light? If you put these in a drawer in a proper setting and store them, does that reduce the aging process?
It slows it down. Yes. Unfortunately, a lot of these, fortunately or unfortunately, Homer's works are so lovely that anyone who owns one wants to have it up all the time in their house.
Right.
So many times when these works come to museum collections, they've already received quite a lot of light. And so they're actually saved a bit when they're taken into museum collections that only exhibit them sporadically. So they're already reducing less light. But determining what a safe amount of light is for a watercolor really depends on how long you want it to last. And I have to say that even the Homer watercolors and other watercolors I've seen that have experienced some fading, they still are brilliant to look at, and they still have a lot to say, even if some of the colors have begun to alter. So your question is, yes, ideally you would keep it in a dark closet and never look at it, but of course that's not not practical. So it's determining a sort of a way to budget the amount of light that you want each work to experience so that it can last as long as possible.
And you can find a balance where there is a certain amount of light and be able to show it and still keep the painting in relatively good shape.
Yes. And now what's interesting is some museums are, with digital technology, once they have the chemical components of the color and know what it most likely looked like before fading, they're sometimes exhibiting, I think the National Gallery did this, beside the slightly faded watercolor, they're showing an exhibit of, a digital surrogate of what it might have looked like the day it left the artist's hand to help the viewer understand maybe what has been lost.
We talk about your job as conservation, which is different than restoring. And when we often think about traditional paintings and oil paintings, that in many cases they can be cleaned and restored. You can't do that with a watercolor, from my understanding, or at least
you're
to
right.
that degree, right?
Yeah, you can't really overpaint and put color back. So that's why it's even more important to protect it from fading in the first place. And it's tricky because, but luckily there's some very good new glazing materials that really help reduce the amount, remove the worst wavelength of light. But as I like to tell my private clients, even if you put sun protection factor 50 on, you can still get a sunburn. And the
right.
same is true with a watercolor. You can still get fading with these glazings that have ultraviolet filters on them. So it's really a matter of, how long and how intense the light is hitting the work, which will affect how long it lasts and affect the changes.
So, Diane, what did you have to do? And I assume this is something that you've run up against with other works and other artists.
You mean in terms of preserve? We had to keep, we have a gallery, fortunately, that has motion detectors. So the lights are only on when people are in the room. In fact, ours are so sensitive as if you stand still for too long, unfortunately, the lights may go off on you in the gallery. So we do that to so there's no exposure that you more than we need to see the work. Also, the light levels are rather low in the gallery. So when you first walk in, you might have to take a moment to adjust to the space. But the light is certainly adequate to see the work really, really clearly. And Winslow Homer's work is so remarkable. I have to tell you that every time I walk into that gallery, I am amazed at just what he has accomplished. It's a wonderful experience.
Talk a little bit about the idea, and I mentioned in the introduction, but this, the idea of the exhibit and to show it, the story that you wanted mm-hmm. to tell with work that you mm-hmm. have, that,
right.
that is yours.
The work that we have was, as you mentioned, was all collected by Bartlett Arkell for the people of Canajoharie. We have added to that for this exhibit. We did borrow a shepherdess that is a watercolor in a private collection in Connecticut right now that once belonged to the Arkell family that was never part of the public gallery. There are several works that he kept for himself, and they're all included in the catalog that accompanies this exhibition. But the ones he purchased for the museum are very similar to the ones he held in his private collection. In fact, sometimes Bartlett Arkell would sort of forget what it was that he had intended for a work and keep things on his walls for quite a while after he purchased it for the Arkell collection because they meant so much to him. So we're trying to show off this collection that's, one man's personal choice. And it shows the whole span of Winslow Homer's career. And we've arranged the exhibit more or less chronologically. And the catalog's entries are organized that way, too, to show you that we really can look at this remarkable artist's career from his early watercolors through his last oil at Prout's Neck, Maine.
And Leslie, we're running out of time, but I am interested in, by doing your work, you can learn a lot about the artists.
Oh, yes. And Homer is someone who really played with all the techniques, you know, that were available, as well as inventing a few of his own. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, each watercolor is so different. Even though he used the same techniques on many of the different watercolors, they were used in very different ways. And, you know, it really bears a close looking if people want to see the works in person. You can't get that from looking at a catalog. You really have to be standing in front of the watercolor itself.
Winslow Homer, The Nature and Rhythm of Life, will be on display at the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie through January 4th, 2015. For more information, you can visit arkellmuseum.org. arkellmuseum.org. A wonderful exhibit, beautiful and gorgeous job. Diane, thank you so much for being with us, and best of luck with the exhibit.
Well, I hope to see a lot of people there. We also have upcoming programs, so people should check the website.
And that website, arkellmuseum.org. Leslie Paisley, thank you very much for sharing your expertise as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.